Blog Talk Radio.
Prelate Bishop Derek Robinson. You're listening to KDFI Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. You are listening to KDFI Radio, Kingdom Radio for Kingdom People. You know what this is. This is a show that features the anointed and the appointed in God's kingdom. I am your host, Bishop Electa Mel Elliott Hubbard, and I am so excited about our segment on today. From the pit to the palace. Oh, glory be to God. I came with the amen in my spirit. It's going to be dynamic. So as soon as this show is over, do something for us. Share the link with as many people as you can. But right now, we need you to text somebody. Let them know they need to get on KDFI Radio. And that call-in number is 516-387-1673. Again, that call-in number is 516-387-1. So many of us need to hear about. We want to remind you that KDFI with Bishop Derek Robinson is our international presiding bishop, is one of the fastest-growing and most dynamic fellowships anywhere on the planet. That is just a fact. And we want you to be a part. So do this for us. If you have not already gone to the website, go to KDFI.net and see what this dynamic fellowship has to offer. That's KDFI.net. Well, we are excited to bring on our dynamic panel. We are welcoming to the show right now Evangelist Rodriguez Calhoun, Overseer Reginald Harvey, and Apostle Evelyn Oliver. Let's welcome to KDFI Radio. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Amen. That was our KDFI hand of applause. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so glad that you are here. We're going to call on you. We want you to tell the people where you are from, where you serve, before we jump into the show. So, Evangelist Rodriguez Calhoun, tell the people where you're from and where you serve.
Hello, hello, all. Welcome to the show. And I thank all who are involved for this opportunity. I'm Alabama-born, Alabama-bred. But God has led me to the wonderful city of Atlanta, Georgia. So I presently reside in Atlanta, Georgia. I am a servant at Faith Perfecting Life Center, Dr. Timothy Boone. But I also am, God has allowed me to be a founder of Heart of God Prophetic Movement, which is an outreach that goes out into the community. We feed, we give resources, however that God allows us to. And then, of course, we give the word of God. And we have different functions of Heart of God planted in different cities, such as Jacksonville, Florida, Warner Robins, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, and Montgomery, Alabama. And, again, I'm just excited to be here today, excited to see what God is about to do through this conversation.
Amen. Bless you, man of God. Hallelujah. Overseer Reginald Alvey, welcome. Tell the people where you are from and where you serve.
Thank you so much, Bishop-elect. My name is Reginald Alvey. I am the state overseer for the state of Louisiana. Also, I reside in the city of Ville Platte, Louisiana, where I pastor the historic St. James Baptist Church of Bayou Chico, Louisiana. That church will celebrate 210 years this November.
Wow.
Amen. Did you say 210 years?
210 years this November.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. 210 years deserves a KDFI radio round of applause. Come on. Amen. Praise God. That is something to celebrate. Amen. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I tell you, we have a mighty, mighty woman of God with us on today, Apostle Evelyn Collifer. Bless you, woman of God.
God bless you, Bishop-elect Merritt. My name is Apostle Evelyn Collifer. I reside in the state of North Carolina. My church is in Raleigh, North Carolina. I am a church planter. Praise God. I moved from Philadelphia to North Carolina, started the ministry, been in ministry for 15 years now, churches and working. I am the overseer of orientation and membership for KDFI. Have a lot of other positions, but I just want to tell you that I am a woman of God who love God and am very excited about being here with you today.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, listen, we're going to jump right in. I have been so excited about this topic, from the pit to the palace. I know our listeners are shouting already. Oh, glory be to God. Well, our first question is, and I couldn't wait to get here to ask you all this, what is the danger of telling the wrong people your dreams? I know this is a season where God is speaking to us, but we need to know, what is the danger of telling the wrong people your dreams? And we're going to first go to Evangelist Calhoun. Speak to us, man of God.
I kind of figured you would come to me first, but God is good. So the danger of telling other people your dreams really is contingent upon the people that you're telling. And what I mean by that is this. Everybody has not found themselves or has not come into the place in Christ where they really know Christ and then they know themselves. So with that being the case, when you share a vision with people who are in that particular place, then they don't really understand. They may not believe like it's necessary in order to share and help cultivate the vision that God has given you. And where there's no understanding or equal understanding, then you open the door for the enemy to come in and bring in jealousy and envy or strife, which are all surrounded around the story of Joseph going to the pit, because the brothers didn't have the same favor on their lives, or they wasn't available to God like Joseph was. Then when Joseph began to share his dreams, it was too big for them to understand and process, because they didn't know the same big God that Joseph knew. And so because they couldn't understand it and process it in the same way that Joseph could, then now you open the door for envy, jealousy, strife, and things of that nature to come in. So those are some of the dangers of sharing with people. You got to know who you're sharing with, simply put.
Amen. Huh? You got to know who you are sharing with. I love how you said they didn't serve the same big God that Joseph did, so they could not understand. That is awesome.
Apostle Tolliver. I'm coming to you. Tell the people the danger of sharing your dreams with the wrong person.
Well, I'm just going to piggyback right off of what he said, is that when Joseph shared his dream with his brothers didn't wasn't excited about him moving, being over them. His brothers wasn't excited about what the dream entailed. So the danger of sharing your dreams with other people is that they may not believe that God can use you. They will get jealous. Because you had a dream that God said he was going to use you, and here it is now. It looks like you're going to supersede them, because remember, Joseph was the youngest. And now Joseph is saying God's going to, they're going to bow down to him, and he's going to be over the mother and the father. No, it's when you share your dreams with people who don't believe, when you share your dreams with people that God has not you to share them with, it is a very real danger that people will try to rob you of your dream, or even try to kill your dream, like Joseph. I'm gonna stop right there. Yes.
Woo! You shouldn't have stopped right there. That was good. That was good. My God, my God, yeah. My God. And in this season, it's so important. I know people don't want to believe it, but some of us are surrounded by dream killers. And
absolutely.
If we are not careful, you open up something there, woman of God. We are not careful. You will find out that you have been surrounded by some dream killers. Oh, my God. My God. Overseer Harvey, come and talk to us, man of God. What's the danger of sharing your dream with the wrong people?
Well, obviously, Joseph is our more familiar Pitu Palace character. And ultimately, Bishop-elect, it was Joseph's gifts. It was his anointing that landed him in both the pit and the palace. He interpreted a dream, and it landed him in the pit. But then he also interpreted a dream, and it landed him in a palace. The only difference between where he was landed was who heard it. And so it's very important that we consider the listeners, and not only the listeners of who we're sharing our gifts and anointings with, our dreams with, but consider what they have access to. Because some people that you're sharing your gift with may only have access to pits. There are some people that we share our dreams with may have access to palace. I often share with our congregation that people are observing you, then they are forming an opinion about you, but only the next level can give you an opportunity. The last level cannot give you opportunity. The level that you're on cannot give you opportunity. Only the next level can give you opportunity. And so some of the people that we're sharing our gifts with may only have access to pits. They don't have a palace to usher you to or to put you in. But the pit is the place where the enemy would love to assassinate your dreams. He loves to lock you in your dreams in that particular area. And so there are dangers, obviously, to telling the wrong people about your dreams, because some people will try to assassinate you right there and leave you in dreamland.
My God. Listen, if you haven't already told someone, texted somebody that they need to get on KDFI Radio, tell them right now, because I believe that the Holy Ghost is moving and we're hearing some things that are going to cause us to shift. Oh, glory be to God. We want to flow in this direction, the function of favor. So many times we hear preachers preach, and they tell us there's favor on your life. There's favor on your life. But not everybody understands the function of favor. And so we just want to talk right now. What is the function of favor in our lives? Evangelist Calhoun.
It's a good question. In my opinion, I would say favor is used as a compelling or used to compel the unbeliever. And what I mean by that is this. When people look at the favor of God on your life and they see how you're able to lead, and they see how you're able to problem solve, and they see how you're able to navigate through different things, then they wonder, what is it about this person? And it leads them to want to get to know you more intimately. And now once they get to know you more intimately, then you can explain to them and you can break down to them that, hey, it really ain't nothing so special about me, more so than that God's hand is upon my life. You know what I mean? So the favor of God, when people see that no matter what arena that you go in, you're able to excel, they say, well, God, I done seen this guy over here. I done seen this guy over there. I done seen him lead over here. I seen him lead over there. What is it about this guy? And then you'll be able to tell them. Again, it'll compel them to want to figure out what is it about you, and you'll be able to say to them, hey, it is the hand of God upon my life. So in my opinion, I say that God uses favor as a opportunity or a tool to compel the unbeliever. Because a lot of times when Joseph's favor was shown and it was received, it was amongst the unbelievers. And they would say, well, it's obvious that God's hand is upon your life, and the unbeliever put Joseph in a position of authority. So, again, favor to me, in my opinion, and I guess more so it really, to me, about the story of Joseph, it's used as a tool to tell the unbeliever.
Amen. Praise God. Listen, we're talking about the function of favor. I've never heard anybody explain it like that. Amen. We want to hear all the different aspects of favor. But, man of God, that was awesome. For when people see the favor of God on your life, see God move, they have no choice but to say, surely the hand of God is upon them. That's awesome. Apostle Tolliver, talk to us about the function of favor in our lives.
Yeah, look at this. So when things happen to unbelievers, they call it luck, right? But when things happen to believers, we call it favor. Favor, right? Because as Christians, we don't consider them to be lucky because we are known as blessed people. Listen, the Bible said that Noah found grace in God's eyesight, right? He found favor with God. And because of that favor with God, he saved the entire human race. So favor is good. Favor functions. Look, Proverbs 12:2 proclaims a good man obtains favor of the Lord. So how can we obtain that kind of favor from God? It's unmerited favor. People say, you have a merited favor. People say, favor ain't fair, but I have it. But I'm telling you, the Lord declares that we have favor. He will surround us like still. I'm paraphrasing the scripture. The function of favor in your life is that God walking with you, and no matter whoever tried to put you in a pit, you're going to arise and go to wherever God has called you to go. The function of favor in your life is it may be hell over here, and it may be a whirlwind over there, but when God has favor on your life, you're going to go through everything you need to get to the palace, just like Joseph. Mm.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, glory. Hallelujah. I like that. We not lucky. We blessed. We not lucky. We are blessed. Amen. We are a blessed people. Amen. Overseer Arby, talk to us. What is the function of favor in our lives?
I believe the function of favor is just what our first two guests said. It's not luck. It is the hand of God upon an individual. We also call it the anointing, right? So when the anointing is upon a person's life, it is literally the hand of God that is upon their life. And there is no line of demarcation. There is no distinction to where his hand begins and our life ends. There, when his hand is on our life, we literally take on the identity of the power of God to complete an assignment, whatever that assignment may be. And that that particular anointing, because, and I said this morning in our services, I said that when the anointing of God is upon you, the anointing has a way of navigating and gravitating you to the place where the anointing can be used. I'm going to say that again.
Yeah.
When the anointing of God is on your life, the anointing has a way of gravitating and navigating you to the places in your life where it can best be used. In other words, if the anointing of God is on your life, if the favor of God is on your life, there is no way that you could stay at the bottom. If the anointing of God is on your life, you will always bubble up to the top, because the anointing finds a way. It gravitates to where you can be used. And there are some people that may even, Bishop-elect, some people that may even think that you're looking for a promotion or that you're looking to exalt yourself.
Right.
But what they don't understand is that you have a case of the can't help it. You can't help what the anointing does in your life, because it pulls you into places, sometimes and even
come
in
on,
places please. That you don't even feel comfortable. But when you step into the assignment, when you step into the place that God has laid out for you, whether you want to be there or not, whether you're nervous or not, whether you're uncomfortable or not, when you begin operating in your assignment and you begin operating in that anointing, it's the anointing that makes the difference, whether it's singing, whether it's preaching, whether it's whatever it is that you're called to do. When you do it with an anointing and the favor of God, you can't pick and choose where you're going. The anointing shifts you there.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. I feel that, Vinci. Well, man of God, just stay there just for one more minute. Because there's some people, I know even myself, the assignment I just got, I said, my God, this is a big thing. Me, I'm chosen
myself.
For this. So just come on. Just stay there for one minute.
Absolutely. When you have been called, you have been, the hand of God, again, is on your life. Now, there are so many of us, Bishop, so many of us, we see other people's anointing, and we want to do that. But if you have not been anointed for that thing, then you won't have the power to accomplish it. It is important, not only that you tell your dream to the right people, not only that you understand favor, but that you understand what you're called to do. Because sometimes we can operate in the wrong area. We're trying to hijack someone else's anointing. But somebody needs to know that they need to just flow in the anointing that they've been called to. You may not like it. It may be uncomfortable in the beginning, but I promise you there is a reason. And if God said it to you, if he put it on his schedule for you to be there, I promise you that he is not through with you yet, and there is more that he's going to pull out of you that you probably didn't even know you had in you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. I rejoice, and I see that right now. Come on, can we give God some praise? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God.
That's so good. And I'm so grateful. Yes.
May I say something, please?
Please.
Because
I just
wanted to come in with him. What he's saying is so powerful. That when the anointing is on your life, yes, you're going to move into the areas where God have ordained you to go. But just like Joseph, he did not know what his steps would be. And so sometimes when you're anointed and you're being moved to this place, to that place, if you don't operate in the way that God wants you to in that position, then you're going to feel uncomfortable and know that it's not the anointing. And there are times when you may be oppressed or depressed in that position, and God is strengthening you, and God is stripping you, and God is making you, and God is moving you. You go to the next place with the anointing. by God. You will know that God has moved you to another place, and you will be, now you'll feel comfortable. But that comes and goes with the anointing. Mm-hmm. That comes and goes, because we'll never, ever be satisfied where we are, because God is an ever-changing God, ever-moving, ever-growing, and we're always moving from one good degree of grace to another. That just stirred up in me when he was saying that. Well,
Thank you, God. A friend of KDFI Radio, Overseer Charles McLeod, just wrote, wow, I just preached this Friday night. So how many of you know there's agreement in the spirit? Hallelujah. Overseer McLeod, we need back on KDFI Radio. Amen. We thank God. So this is moving us right where we need to be, because we keep calling the name of Joseph, and we know that he had some pit experiences. We understand that many of us have had some pit experiences. I know I just said it in the past tense, but there are some folks that are in the pit right now that are listening to this show. And they're saying, it's not a past tense. I'm having a pit experience right now. So we want to talk about what is the purpose, because there has to be a purpose. So we want to talk about what is the purpose of pit experiences. Amen. Evangelist Calhoun, what is the purpose of our pit experiences?
Woo! So the pit is can be used for a couple things. The pit, for one, shows you who you are. Mm-hmm. And then the pit will allow you to see who God is. The pit cultivated Joseph, right? Because like our overseer Arby said earlier, it was his gift. And I was crazy because I wrote that same thing down. It was the gift of interpreting dreams that put Joseph in the pit. But it was the gift of interpreting dreams that got Joseph out of the prison. But watch this. In the pit, Joseph could have lost that. You know, so how many people put their gifts on the shelf because the gift has put them in a pit, not realizing that in the pit, God was going to fine-tune you. Joseph gained integrity that would sustain him in the palace. He gained integrity in the pit. His character was perfected in the pit. God said our trials and tribulations are used to perfect our character. A lot of us want to be perfected, but we don't want the fire. Mm-hmm. And in order to be perfected, you got to go through the fire. You got to go through that dark season. One of my pastors told me, said, and it was so true, it said, flowers obtain all the necessary nutrients in the day to grow, but they don't grow until night. And we never get to see the growth of a flower because we're never watching them at night, but that's when they grow. They get all the nutrients in the daytime, but it's at nighttime that they spring up and they grow a little bit and they get a little bit stronger and they get a little closer to the sun. So a lot of us got to realize that in those dark seasons, that's when we're getting better. That's when you really get to see who you are. Do you really have integrity? Because Joseph could have came out that pit and been bitter. And he could have been mad. And he could have held on to all that. But he didn't. He didn't, because he allowed God to perfect him in the pit. So the pit showed Joseph who he was, but it also showed him when he came out that pit, it showed him that I serve a big God. Because God was with me in the pit, and now God is with me in the palace. God pulled me out that pit. Joseph know he didn't get himself out that pit. He didn't get himself, because he told his brother, he said, it was not you. It was God that sent me to that pit. It wasn't you. He knew. He knew, he discerned that it was God that put him in that pit. And because God put me in that pit, it brought me to that palace, and now I'm able to save y'all. So no, don't hold your head down, because it was not you. You were just a pawn. So the pit shows us who we are, but it also shows us who God is.
Hallelujah. Hey, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
God.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
God. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I received that word. I love it. He said, God is cultivating me in the place.
And watch this. Watch this, overseer. Watch this, Bishop Elect. That's why so many people die in the pit, because they get a glimpse of who they really are. They get a glimpse of who they really are. So they die in that pit because they never look to God. Yeah, in that pit you realize that you're strong in some areas and I'm weak in some areas, but I look to God because God, where I'm weak, God is made strong. Hey, God was, Joseph was weak in that pit, but because God was in there with him and he acknowledged that, he was made strong. He was able to withstand that pit. And when he came out that pit, he came out better than he went in. My God.
Hey, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, hallelujah. I hope the listening audience is receiving it, because I'm getting full today. Oh, I'm being cultivated right now in my pit experience. Oh, glory be to God. Ah, hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you.
Overseer Arby, talk to us a little bit about the purpose of pit experiences.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Both, Bishop Elect, both the pit and the pallets are scheduled and necessary. They're scheduled in that it may be a shock to you, but it's not a shock to God.
Not a shock.
God knew what you would have to go through. And not only is it scheduled, but it's necessary. It's necessary in that, as I said earlier, when you're anointed, it's the anointing that pushes you and navigates you to places where your anointing can best be used. And it is the lessons learned in the pit that actually prepares me for the palace. That pits can be misinterpreted. I've learned in life that pits can be misinterpreted because people assume, Bishop Elect, that you're in a pit because you've done something wrong. There's the propensity to believe that the only reason why I'm going through a struggle right now is because God is punishing me for something I've done wrong. And what people don't realize is that sometimes it's the favor that shifted me to a necessary pit. It may not have been on my agenda, as one of the guests said earlier. It may have even been a shock or a surprise to us, but it's certainly not a shock nor a surprise to God. And in the pit, there is the temptation to make you think that God has forgotten about you. The pit has the temptation of making one think that maybe the word that I received was not accurate. Maybe it wasn't for me. Or maybe God has forgotten about me. Maybe he's taken his anointing away from me, or he's removed his hand from me. Because the pit is designed to press out of you everything that God cannot use.
That's good.
And so although the pit is scheduled, I need our listeners to know that even if you're in a scheduled pit, God is still, right now through this radio show, he's stirring up your dreams. I just feel and I just believe that there are visions, there are dreams, there are mindsets that are being restored right now. And when God prepares you for the palace, he doesn't just prepare some of you in the pit. He prepares your whole being. Everything connected to you has to be prepared for the palace. He won't just shift you from pit to palace without preparing your family, your children. I can just use the recent elevation for myself and KDFI. It's one thing for me to be prepared for elevation, but if my family's not prepared, if my health is not prepared, if my church family is not prepared to handle the stresses of palace, Because you know, everybody wants to shout about the palace until they get there. And they see that the palace requires work and responsibility. The palace requires a certain kind of mindset to be able to deal with the stresses of elevation. Everybody wants elevation until they have to deal with what comes with it. And so it's in the pit that God is not preparing some of me, but he's preparing my whole being to be able to handle what the palace has to offer. God wants me to find sufficiency in him in the midst of a pit, in the midst of trouble, and not just when I get to the palace.
Thank you, God.
Mm. Ooh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I hope that you all heard that, that in your pit experience, he's pressing everything out of you that cannot be used. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. It is scheduled, and it is necessary. We want to thank God for a friend, a dear friend of KDFI Radio, Dr. Vanita Johnson. Amen. And she is saying, excited to listen to the broadcast. That is so good, Overseer Arvey. It's when the anointing is over your life, it makes a difference. She's saying that's real good events, Calhoun. The pit shows you who we are. And some of us are perfected and some died in the pit. Amen. Dr. Vanita, we need you back on KDFI Radio. I want you all to know that the people are listening and they are being blessed right now. Amen. A powerful power will come and the people tell them the purpose of pit experiences.
Amen. Amen. I agree with the other two pastors. I just want to say that the pit, the purpose of the pit is to make you cry out to God. God knows the purpose of your pain. He knows the reason for your struggle. And the reward for your faithfulness. So the pit is necessary for us to go through to get to where God is taking us. We need the pit. We don't like pain. We don't like to hear no. We don't like the struggle. We want to go from the palace all the time. We want to go to the palace, straight to the palace. But God is saying, you need the pit. In the pit, I'll make you. In the pit, I'll mold you. In the pit, I'll break you. In the pit, I'll grow
come on,
you.
Come on.
In the pit, I'll show you. So we need the pit to cry out to God. Lord, have mercy on me. I don't know how I got here, but if I can hold on to your hand, I know that I'm going somewhere. So that pit was necessary. Remember how Joseph got to the pit? It was because he told the dream, and his brothers didn't like him because his father showed favoritism. Many of us who are in the ministry and in church right now are experiencing the same kind of trauma. But I tell you right now, if you allow God to be in that pit with you, that pit of depression, that pit of oppression, that pit of struggle, that if you just cry out to God, he will hear you and he will answer you and he will deliver you from that pit. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, God. Hallelujah. I am just so grateful today for this theme. I'm so grateful for our guest because I know, like myself, there's some people that found themselves in a pit going, how in the world did I get here? But thank you, Apostle Tyler, for reminding us God will deliver us. Hey, glory be to God. Now, we want to just have a segue. We want to just have a segue for just a minute. We got to talk about this because there are the pits that others dig for us. I know I'm going to lose some people. That's all right. There's the pits that others dig for us, but then there's the pits that we dig for ourselves. Look, two totally different kinds of pits now. Because there are times where we dug a pit because of disobedience. Come on. There are times where we made some decisions, look at this, that were contrary to the word of God. And so now we find ourselves in a pit, not because somebody else threw us in there. We're going to get back to that. But we just have to talk about the fact that we can end up in a pit of our own making. And I saw something that was so good. I just want y'all to talk about this for a minute. I saw something so good. It says, be careful that we are not the weapon formed against ourselves, causing ourselves not to prosper.
Oh, That's good.
Come on. We got to be careful that we are not the weapons formed against ourselves, causing ourselves not to prosper. So I just wanted us just for a minute to talk about the importance of not digging our own pits because of disobedience and disbelief.
Woo.
My God, my God, my God, my God. This is for somebody. This is for somebody. Overseer Arvin, the water's warm. Jump into this. Talk to us a little bit about this.
Absolutely. Digging our own pits. And you know, we do that sometimes by going back to what I said earlier, sometimes by operating in areas that we were not called to operate in. You know, it can be tempting. It can be tempting to want to do what we see others do. Or sometimes the opposite extreme of that is that we don't want to do what God has called us to do. How many times do we have the mindset of Jonah, where God said do it and we decide it doesn't need to be done, or we don't want to do it? And in doing so, we dig ourselves deeper. We've heard the sermon where Jonah went from the boat to the fish, and then the fish at the bottom of the sea. He kept going lower and lower and lower. And any time you step outside of the covering and the will of God, the word of God for your life, that's the only direction that you're going to find yourself in. You're going to find yourself going deeper, deeper, and lower and lower. And so we dig, you're absolutely right, we dig our own pits through disobedience. We dig our own pits by dabbling in things that the Lord has not ordained for our lives, or that we think we should be doing, and it's not his will. It may be his will for someone else.
Ooh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Apostle Tolliver, I want you, thank you, man of God. Apostle Tolliver, I want you to jump into this. Dr. Vanita Johnson is saying, thank you, Apostle Tolliver. The pit will cause us to cry out. It will grow up. It's good to know that God hears our cries and will deliver us. Apostle Tolliver, can you talk just for a moment about being careful not to dig our own pit because of disobedience and disbelief?
Yes, I can. And I can tell you this right now. I am over here in North Carolina, probably jumping all over the place, because this is such a good interview of things that need to be said. This morning in my message, I was telling the church, I said, the church has dug itself in a pit because we stopped following God and started following everyone else but God. We did that. We dug this pit of where the church is right now. Y'all might not say amen, but we did this. We got away from the things of God. We got away from the dreams and the visions that God has given to us. How do I know that? Because when one man painted his church black on the inside, all of us started painting our churches black on the inside. From one man started having, we all started doing the same thing. And we were moving further and further into a pit where God did not call us to be. But now that we're in the pit, remember, the way out of the pit is to God. And now what we need to do is to pray and ask God to bring us back where we should be. I moved here from Philadelphia. I'm going to say it quick. I moved here from Philadelphia. God gave me a vision. God told me what to do. I was hearing God's voice. I was moving in that vein, and I got caught up. and move myself into a pit listening to what others were doing and found myself in a pit that I put myself in. But, oh, praise God, I am out and I'm staying out now, and I thank God for it. So, yeah, we do put ourselves in the pit sometimes. Yes, we do. But the way out is through prayer and seeking God's face. I'm just.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And Apostle Tolliver, can I say thank you for your transparency? Because, see,
Amen.
People will shout when we start talking about other people threw us in a pit. But nobody
yes.
wants to say amen when we talk about digging a pit and getting ourselves in it. Come on here.
Right.
But thank you for being so honest. Somebody here, I love that example. One person painted their shirt black, and everybody started painting their shirt black. And
yes.
when I was preaching convocation, I was talking about it's not about keeping up with the Joneses, it's about keeping up with the docs. Everybody's like, you know, what's going on in your church, Doc? How many people you running, Doc?
Mm-hmm.
How big is your, you know, how big is your parking lot, Doc? And so we want to keep up with the Doc, right? If somebody's doing something, I got to have that in my church. You got a Holy Ghost bowling alley? Well, I got to have a Holy Ghost bowling alley too. Amen. And we don't even have the money for fold-out chairs, but we're trying to have a bowling alley because somebody else got one. So we've got to realize.
Amen.
Amen. Because can I tell you something about the docs? Half of what they're telling you not true anyway.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. I know that may somebody mad, but half the things the docs are telling you are true.
Come
Amen.
On,
Bishop. Yeah. Sometimes we're jealous over things that aren't even true. People say, I got an international ministry, and they sit in their living room with their wife and their grandbaby. Come on here now. Look, ain't nothing wrong with that. But, see, sometimes we're jealous over things that aren't even true. So we've got to not try to keep up with the docs and what folk are telling us they're doing. Huh? But we've got to do what God is calling us to do. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to have a segment on KDFI Radio, Get Delivered from the Docks.
From the Docks.
Amen. Get Delivered from the Docks. What's up, Doc? No, Get Delivered from the Docks. Amen.
Yes.
So that we can
yes.
do what God is telling us to do and not trying to
Amen.
Keep up with the docs. I know there are people that put these big old screens in the front of their churches. People are taking out loans trying to have big, gigantic screens in the front of their churches. Oh, come on here. And not a dollar for evangelism. Not a dollar for a cup. All right. I'm praise the
Lord. Yeah.
But we got a $20,000 screen and the same amount of people. We've got to get delivered from the docs, I tell you.
Yes.
Glory be to God. We are so grateful for Pastor Dorothy Stubbs, who is a friend of KDFI Radio. She is saying your pit and your palace is planned. You cannot copy anyone else's anointing to be able to do someone else's assignment. Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Pastor Stubbs. We love you. We want you back on KDFI Radio. Amen. Evangelist Calhoun. Come on here, man of God. Jump into this. What is the danger of digging our own pits through disobedience and disbelief?
I'm just so grateful that you brought that perspective into play or into this conversation, because a lot of times we're quick to receive the pits that other people have dug for us, but we fail to realize the pits that we dig for ourselves. So what came to mind to me was Saul. I think so many times we seek the leadership position, right, like Saul got, and then we acknowledge that God had has favor on our life. He has his hand on our life, and God has us leading people and doing different things, and then we begin to forsake God. We begin to not listen to what God is telling us to do. We begin to create our own rules. Well, I know God told me to do it like this, but I think I can get away with doing it like this, similar to Saul. And in that instance, we're digging a pit of replacement. Somebody better hear me. We're digging a pit of replacement because Saul never saw David coming. And what's crazy was David was in his midst the whole time. Saul never knew because you're being disobedient. You're playing with things God told you not to play with. You're not spending time with God like you was in the beginning. You're hearing God say, do this, and you're doing your own thing. God said, when you go in, wipe everything out, and you're keeping some of the spoil. And then God is saying, right in your midst, you don't even realize it, that God done pulled his hand off of you, and he said, you know what? I done found a man that's after my own heart that's going to take your place. So you're about to fall in the pit of being your own God. You're about to fall in the pit of a tormenting spirit falling on you. You're about to be, it's called self-destruction. You're about to self-destruct because I done, now the hand that I used to anoint you into the position, I done pulled it off. Because you don't listen no more. You're operating in disobedience. So Saul is what came to my mind. Saul dug a pit for himself. He didn't listen to God anymore, and by doing so, he put himself in the pit. And I think so many times we fall in that place. We get in the place of leadership. We're the pastor of the church. God, the thing that we prayed for, God gave it to us. But now we don't spend that time with God no more because we got all the mechanics. I know how to preach this sermon. I know how to do everything. I know all the functions. I know how to flow in tongues. I got the favor on my life, so I don't need to spend time with God like I used to. I know God said do it like this, but I don't know. I think I can get away with doing it like this. And by doing so, you're digging a pit for yourself. And David is right there in the midst watching and waiting on his opportunity.
Wow. My God. Ooh, my God, Mike. I like how you said that he was right in the midst and he never saw him coming. That is so true, that many times when we think we have arrived, oh, there's a danger in thinking we've arrived, Saints. When we think we have arrived, we don't pray like we used to, don't fast like we used to. Used to be on our face crying out, and now, you know, we're not on our face anymore. But I love what you said. We need to go back to our first love. Oh, Holly, we need to go back to our first love and pray like we used to pray. Fast again. Amen. Yeah. Cry out to God. Hallelujah. I think the issue is that some of us aren't desperate anymore. Because, see, when we were desperate, we knew how to cry out. When we were desperate, we knew how to turn down our plate. When we were desperate, we would shut off our phone and cut the TV off. Come on, Netflix hadn't seen us for a while because we were so desperate that we could go into our secret house and cry out. But then when we get delivered, our belly is full, the TV's on, we're talking on the phone. We haven't talked to God. And I don't know how long. And if so, it's a few sleepy words before we go to sleep. Thank you, Lord, and we're gone. Huh? But once we get desperate again, and let me just tell you, just for, you know, public service announcement, I am now desperate. I'm desperate now. Because, see, I have a dissertation to write. That's going to be about over 200 pages. And so I was up at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, just typing, just so excited, making so much progress. Then all of a sudden, carpal tunnel hit, and I could barely use my hand. How in the world am I going to get 200 pages written when I can barely use my hand? See, now I'm desperate. I'm desperate in a way I haven't been desperate for a while. And so, see, I'm crying out to God. God, don't leave me. Don't leave me like this. Because I can't, if my fingers hit the keys, the pain is excruciating. I'm saying, God, don't leave me. Don't leave me like this. I've got a deadline. And see, it don't look good because between me and the deadline is now a hand I can barely use. But see, if God did it before, He can do what he gets. I was just being transparent. I was just having a transparent moment that I need some folks to pray for me because, see, now I can't do it on my own. See, if God doesn't do something, then I'm not going to be able to accomplish this. So now I find myself desperate. And if there are any other desperate folks out there, I know no sanctified Holy Ghost, you know, fire baptized people on this line except me. But I'm talking about out there listening. Is anybody desperate? I want you to know that God is going to show up mighty in your life. I'm believing it for you because I'm believing it for me.
Hallelujah.
God is going to show up mighty. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm believing God. I'm believing God. Amen. There's a scripture.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
There's a scripture about what the devil meant for evil. What our enemies mean for evil, God can turn it for our good.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. And I just want y'all to just let the Lord use you in talking about that right now. What the enemy meant for evil, God to turn it for our good. Overseer Harvey?
What I interpret that to mean is that people have a plot, but God has a plan. Although Joseph's brother had a plot for him, God still had a plan. And the significant thing, the unique thing about God is that he can use people's plots and still give you progress. He can use people's plots and still use it for your good and his glory. And might I suggest to you that you will recognize that there are even some Josephs that are in the room right now, Bishop-elect, because God has given them dreams. And might I say us, because I'm included in that. I believe I'm a Joseph. There are some dreams and there are some visions that he's placed on the inside of us. And for some of us, these are not new dreams. These are things that have been embedded and deposited in our spirits some time ago, some years ago. And life took an unexpected turn. You found yourself in a pit. Life took an unexpected turn. Distraction hit. You almost, if the truth be told, forgot your dream. You almost forgot what God had spoken to you. And if we have just a moment of transparency, there are some of us that even believe that we were not worthy. We were no longer worthy. That perhaps, as we said earlier, perhaps we had dug our own pits, and now we feel as though we were not worthy. But something happened just, and I feel this prophetically, just in the last 5 months, somebody who's listening right now, in the last 5 months, God has begun to stir up those dreams and those visions on the inside of you. You can't sleep. You're waking up in the middle of the night. You feel the urge to pray and go into spiritual warfare. You can't concentrate on work because if the truth be told, what's on the inside of you is starting to take over your mind. And you've logged on here today, and it's not by accident. It was by divine guidance. And you know that you're on the verge of a breakthrough because of what Bishop-elect said a few minutes ago. You're desperate. There's a desperation on the inside of you. You feel it in your heart. You feel it in your spirit. You feel like if you don't make this drastic step, you will have a breakdown. So for some of you, it's your job. For some of you, it's finishing a dissertation. For some of us, it's a relationship. For some of us, it's ministry. But if the truth be told, God will not give you peace until you say yes to what it is that he's calling you to do. And so you know that your dream is an actual calling because it affects other people. If you don't step out on faith, some people that are connected to you are not going to receive what it is that God has for them. And so I just want to say to those that have logged on here that the enemy wants to assassinate you in the pit. But I want to encourage someone to crawl up out of that pit. What the devil meant for evil, God is changing it and turning it around for your good. Remember what I said earlier. It was scheduled and it was necessary that you go through what you're going through, that you go through the tough time that you endured. But now that you've come out, and I decree and declare that you have come out as of this day, you have come out. If somebody would just declare it, I am coming out. That as you come out, not only are you coming out, but you're coming out prepared. You're coming out groomed because the pit prepared you. The pit strengthened you. And even in those moments where there were nights where you did not sleep, tears streaming down your face, moments where you felt you were not going to make it, those were the moments that stretched you to be what it is that God has called you to be. And so I just want to encourage someone today to keep dreaming because your dream is about to become a reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Because what the enemy wants to do, I just feel this so strong in my spirit. The reason why the enemy is sending, for some of you, he's sending demonic snipers to assassinate you is because he knows that if he can attack your mind, then he can hold your dream hostage. He knows that if he can attack your mind, then he can keep you incarcerated in the pit, and then your dream will never come to pass. But I decree and declare that I will not be held hostage by the pit. I will not be held hostage by other people's opinion of me. I'm coming out, and I'm coming out equipped for the palace.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Glory be to God. I know there's some people rejoicing over that word. I'm coming out of the pit prepared for the palace. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. We're looking on the WhatsApp and hallelujah. We thank God for what's being said. I tell you, people are excited. They're listening to the show. Dr. Vanita Johnson is saying, Bishop Elect Elliot Hubbard, I agree. We must be desperate for God. Hallelujah. Apostle Tolliver just talked to us a little bit about how what the enemy has meant for evil, God will turn it to our good.
Yes, just like Joseph, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard. And he did that, and he will do the same for you and for me. As Pastor said previously, you may be in a situation where you think you will never come out of that pit. But I want to encourage you today to hold on to the horns of the altar. I want to encourage you today to look unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. I want you to know that Romans 8:28 is working together your life, that all things are working together for your good to them who love the Lord. I want to encourage you today to stand on the word of God and to believe him that this is only a testimony that when you come from the pit, hallelujah, God will use you in a palace. There are those who are in college. There are those who are graduating now. There are those who have lost loved ones to COVID. There are those who are seeking God for greater measures of things that they need. I want to encourage you today. You may be down, but you can come high with him. You will come out of the pit. Just hold on to God's hand and believe him and trust him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Evangelist Calhoun, talk to us, man of God. We need to hear from you how the enemy can mean it for evil, but God can turn it to our good.
I think that we have to put the enemy in perspective. And what I mean by that is this. God is God, and there is no match for God. There's no one above God. And God does not have an enemy. So let's make that clear. God does not have an enemy. The devil is our adversary. He's no match for God. So why did I say that? Because I want us to realize that everything the devil does is allowed. Everything the enemy does is allowed by our God. All right, so make it make sense, man of God. So the enemy has a mission within God's plan for your life. God has given him a mission. God has given him a mission within your plan, within the plan for God for your life. So anything that he does, God knows about. And God knows the value on us. He knows what he has placed in us. So he said to the enemy, you can't break him because I know what's in him. And the enemy is saying, just let me try it. Let me do this. Let me just do that. And God is saying, go ahead. But I know what's in them. I know the treasure that I have put in that earthen vessel. So the reason why I want us to put the enemy in his perspective is to understand that our God, the God who loves you, the God who created you, there's no match for him. And if he be for you, then what can be against you? Nothing. Nobody.
Yeah. Amen.
So no matter what comes your way, understand that God is everything. God has no rival. And if he is with you, then anything that comes your way, he has equipped you to withstand. We give a lot of attention to a devil that is on a mission that God sent him on. He's nobody because he has to come and get permission. So understand, and when you put everything in perspective, then you can say, no matter what comes my way, my character is being perfected. God is using this fire to make me a better person. I glorify God, and I overcome because Jesus overcame. I'm good.
Thank you, God.
I'm good.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you, Jesus. I'm just rejoicing over here. Amen. Overseer Charles McLeod is saying your pit experience was just preparation for where God is taking you. The weapon may have formed, but it didn't prosper. If you have access to a WhatsApp, we're asking that you type in right now, I'm headed to the palace. Oh, glory be to God. If you have access to a WhatsApp, I'm headed to the palace. Come on, we want to give you a minute to type it in. I'm headed to the palace. We don't want you to leave this show concentrating on the pit, but we want you, oh, glory be to God, to look toward the palace, the place that has been prepared for us. Somebody just typed in to WhatsApp, I am headed to the palace. Oh, glory be to God. We thank God right now for every single guest that's been on. I believe that someone has been blessed, amen, by this segment, From the Pit to the Palace. As soon as this show is over, we want you to send the link out to as many people as you can. Overseer Arvey, we're getting ready to go. But if you could just speak a prophetic word into somebody's life who feels like they're getting ready to die in the pit, who say, I can't take it anymore. I've been serving God. I've been doing what I believe God wanted me to do. I don't understand why I'm here. I'm tired. I've had enough. There might be somebody getting ready to walk away from their ministry, someone getting ready to throw up their hands and say, enough. But can you just speak a prophetic word to that believer, like that leader's life right now?
Absolutely. I just want to share with those of you that are on here right now that God is taking us to a place where he wants us to find him sufficient, and not just sufficient in the times when times are good, but he wants us to find him sufficient even when we're in a place of lack, even when we're in a place of trauma and turmoil, because he wants us to know that some things he won't deliver us from, that there are some things that he wants us to actually learn to kill daily. You've heard me say this before. There are some things that God wants you Watch this. He's anointed you to be able to deal with what it is. It's a thorn in the flesh. He says, I've allowed it to buffet you. I've allowed it to strengthen you so that when you get to the palace, yes, you may have a limp. Yes, you may have some things that does not quite look like what everyone wants it to look like. However, you will represent God in the way that he has anointed and assigned you to. I just want to speak to someone who is on here right now and just let you know that the power of God is working on the inside of you right now. I firmly believe that there are some people that feel the presence and power of God right now, that is, your life is actually shifting from a radio show. From a radio show, you have heard the word of the Lord, and it has literally shifted you from one place to another. Your tomorrow, what the enemy had planned for your tomorrow, is being shifted right now. Why? Because you're not only believing it, but you're receiving what thus saith the Lord. And I want to encourage you to stand. No matter what you're facing, or no matter what's facing you, I want to encourage you to stand. Know that the hand of God is on you. And if God be for you, he is more than the world against you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We receive it. We receive it in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. We want to thank Evangelist Rodriguez Calhoun. We want to thank Overseer Reginald Harvey. We want to thank Apostle Evelyn Tyler. And we want to thank every listener on today. Remember to share this show. You have been listening to KDFI Radio, Kingdom Radio, for Kingdom people. And I don't know about you, but I have a feeling it's getting ready to get better. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People go.
Your life has been
out of control.
You're confused. But don't worry.
It will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in control,
y'all.
Prelate Bishop Derek Robinson. You're listening to KDFI Radio.